We had an apology for Doug. Doug gave an apology. I think that was the only apology I remember. Our secretary said he was, not secretary, the public officer said he was going to be here. But he hasn't arrived yet. So we'll start our meeting and we'll start, ask Yvonne to commence.
I read the minutes of the previous meeting, what we are doing. And then matters arising from the previous meeting. We acknowledge in the country, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet, the Gadigal and Wangal peoples and the elders past and present.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to present the minutes of the previous meeting, held 1st of December 2018. There's been a few things that have happened since then, so we've got a few things to discuss that are happening. So we'll go through the minutes, Yvonne, of the previous meeting. Have you got them there?
Yeah, I've got them here. I thought we'd just read them silently, perhaps.
Well, I want to put them into the transcript. Into the recording, because I'm recording.
Are you recording, are you?
So if you could read it out. So there'll be a link going to people who couldn't make it today, so they can have a listen to the recording of the meeting.
Right, last month there was a welcome to David, Yvonne, Owen, Douglas, Nathan and Ross. We reviewed the minutes of the previous meeting held on Saturday the 16th of June 2018. Matters arising from the previous meeting. Douglas gave the report from Malcolm George Baker, personal management plan. Stan won a successful CTO dismissal and we had a celebrity lunch. David won Anna and Samar being signed out of their CTO at Croydon House Centre. Outward correspondence. David wrote a letter to be sent to Dr. Walt Secor, the new Minister for Mental Health. On the 2nd of the 10th, 2018, at the Mental Health Morning Health Month Morning Tech Customs House at Circular Quay, David gave a 16-page letter to the Minister of Mental Health, Tanya Davies. Inward correspondence. Received a letter from the Commissioner of Mental Health of New South Wales, Catherine Lowry. Douglas said he would draft a letter to this letter, a reply to this letter. A lovely thank you letter from Sahar to David, helping dismissal of her CTO. Received a letter from Tanya Davies from the Minister of Mental Health. Letter from a psychologist at Med Clinic from Bankstown on a personal case. Two letters from Kate McGinniskin, Business Engagement Officer, WorkSafe New South Wales. General business. Nathan spoke on his personal medication journey of toxic side effects. Ross and Douglas will form a subcommittee to help Nathan's case. Douglas told us of his four-year studies at University of Newcastle. Douglas told us of the service of National Debt Helpline phone 1800 007 007. David gave clients a strategy initiatives of Mentally Healthy Workplace 2018-2022. Closure. The meeting closed at 1:25. It was a great meeting. A thank you all who came.
Okay, following up with what's taken place since that meeting. We also won a CTO hearing for Stan. So that's Anna, Sahar and Stan. That I won three CTO hearings. And there was another lady, Vicky, we had a sort of a success for too. So I guess that's four of them. Oh, Sahar. No, it's three. But Sahar helped with the Stan meeting. So we won three CTO meetings, hearings last year.
At Croydon,
it's got there the Stan successful.
At Croydon House Centre, was
Croydon, they're generally Croydon.
CTO.
I think one was at Camperdown as well. We wrote a letter to Mr. Walt Secord. We never got an answer back, but then they lost the election, and maybe that's why. But he never wrote back. Morning Tea at Customs House was very nice. I did get a letter back from, I think, the minister in regard to my detailed letter. That may be here. It would be here. I would have that. So we'll move on to outward correspondence. That's been emails. I don't think there's been much outward correspondence over the past few months. Anyone got any matters to talk about from inward or outward correspondence?
Is this stuff available to put up on the internet?
Yes.
Is it on the internet?
Which ones?
The correspondence, the received letter from Tanya Davies.
There's quite a deal up on the Productivity Commission site. I think you've seen that, where they're doing a Productivity Commission investigation into mental health. And Stag has made a submission to that, which is very detailed.
Oh, okay.
One or two people have made a comment. More people could make a comment on there, on the Productivity Commission website. Federal Government Productivity Commission. And people could read all of the correspondence over the past 3 or 4 years. It's all been submitted with the lists of the treatment alternatives. The 6 lists of treatment alternatives are also up there as well too. I have, that's a place to look for correspondence. Just bear with me a moment, I'll see what I have here. Not so much correspondence, there are outward notices and 2 things which I have to discuss today or read out into the record so that people can listen to it. One is our application to the Productivity Commission by the Sydney Treatment Alternative Advocacy Group, established 2015. Stag's brief submission to the Productivity Commission. I'll read it out as we're going on to...
Perhaps you'd like to close the door, John, if that's right here. Thank you, sir.
So you could say it's correspondence to the Productivity Commission. They're still developing their draft responses, and the final report will be available in 2020. But people can view what Stag has put up there. And Stag, so to read it, Stag simply advocates that there be compliance on the part of the New South Wales mental health system with its section 68E of the New South Wales Mental Health Act, in that people with a mental illness or mental disorder should be provided with appropriate information about treatment, treatment alternatives and treatment effects. Given that section 195 is void and has been since 2010 due to its offending the Federal Competition and Consumer Act of 2010. At the moment, there is universal systematic breach in a moribund dark ages mental health system which excludes treatment alternatives that are in competition to non-evidence-based chemical medication and its anti-competitive commission system rewarding those who prescribe them. The writer says non-evidence-based because I have been in the mental health system since 1984 as a supplier of treatment alternatives, and all that time the department has never been able to produce to me any evidence, testimonials, papers or studies to show that their chemical medications work to any degree more than a placebo effect to cure patients. Hence it can be safely assumed that after 35 years there is none, and the only motivation for the use is pecuniary reward and convenience in breach of Section 68D of the Mental Health Act. Stag has consistently advocated for compliance for 4 years and met with ambivalence, resistance, intransigence even, by the New South Wales Department of Mental Health, in that they are adamant that they will not comply with the provision of appropriate information about treatment alternatives for mental health as required by the Act, let alone the actual provision of any of the alternatives to placebo chemical medication. Remember, Stag's developed lists of about, from 6 people, of about 50 to 60 treatment alternatives. All we ask is, say, about 10 of them come in. We also call for the introduction of, say, 10 to 15 treatment alternatives in mental health and a breaking of the iron-fisted grip of pharmaceutical placebo-grade so-called treatments for mental illness. So far, our call for compliance and provision have fallen on deaf ears, and we have been privately invited by a spokesman for the department to sue, as he said the department will only take notice of an adverse court judgment. STAG has commissioned the compilation of 6 separate lists of treatment alternatives by professionals who have an understanding of what such treatment alternatives that should be provided might be. We have asked the department to make these 6 lists available for clients and practitioners to evaluate and choose from them, but the department has refused to provide the information, even though it can be done on the internet and intranet for virtually no cost. Hence, once again, we are meeting with pecuniary motivations and considerations. We provide these lists to you so that you can see the list from which about 10 to 15 treatment alternatives may be made available. STAG would like to see a steering committee that oversees the provision of the appropriate information and introduction of a range of about 10 to 15 treatment alternatives from the lists for people wishing for alternatives and a freedom from psychotropic medication, which at best has only hit and miss placebo effect of say 30 to 35%. We advocate that mental health should come out of the dark ages into the digital age, and that the various mental health departments around the country embrace the more proven and well-attested digital medication in deference to chemical medication in the interests of competition, which it can only benefit the patients. Any questions so far? The detailed letter, I noticed, goes 2 pages.
You wrote that, didn't you, Dave?
Yes.
It's very good.
Thank you. We advocate for an integrative approach where a number of treatment alternatives be combined to achieve recovery ends for clients, so that clients may be able to move on and not be caught in the inflexible morass of tendentious dark age mental health systems as they now are, and be able to move on with their lives rather than be kept for antiquated so-called professionals with little life experience to be in sinecures. STAG believes that there can be absolutely no reform in the current mental health field without the introduction of treatment alternatives as collated by STAG, and the iron fist of chemical medication and psychiatrists be replaced with more results-based modalities. Without treatment alternatives being introduced and made available, nothing is ever going to change in mental health provision. Nothing. We welcome the inquiry by the Productivity Commission, as perhaps now there may be some advancement in mental health provision, which is under the dominance of pharmaceutical companies and career psychiatrists interested in keeping the numbers up and maintaining the status quo, and seeing few escape, and that people are not cured, as their products in most cases do not work and oftentimes offend sections 85 of the New South Wales Mental Health Act, and in a number of cases section 39 and 41 of the New South Wales Crimes Act, which concerns poisoning offences. We have found that the police will not act to enforce the law in the area of section 39 and 41 regards, which is an area of great concern. There cannot be advancement and productivity in mental health without the introduction of a range of effective treatment alternatives in competition with the unlawful, that's anti-legislative, monopoly of ineffectual, obsolete chemical medication. We believe people only improve with the passage of time and change in circumstances and the application of empirically based and demonstrable treatment alternatives. STAG's reasonable desire is that, as said, there may be provided about 10 to 15, maybe even 20 treatment alternatives of the some 100 put forward for consideration. Their provision does not have to cost much nor be expensive, as may be the case in the corrupting chemical medication regime. It should be possible to introduce them inexpensively and with an eye to productivity and efficacy and recovery in a person's life. There is no justifiable argument for refusing to introduce a good number of the treatment alternatives in mental health, as for an example sheet 2, the one with the images, to break the unlawful anti-competitive obfuscational monopoly that now prevails. Mental health, as it now is a stagnant morass, a swamp of parasites and alligators in which nothing changes, and we need to drain the swamp and get rid of the alligators and dinosaurs that live in it so many people may enjoy some of the wonderful and exciting treatment alternatives that are now being denied them. When a good number of treatment alternatives start to become provided in accordance with compliance, there will at last be a new day in mental health. The six lists highlighting list two, Daniel Davies' summary of meeting, Prugow first letter of company. Written by David Murphy, Chairperson Stag, Sydney Treatment Alternative Advocacy Group, long-time advocate, authority and supplier of mental health treatment alternatives since 1984. Author of list two, The Colour One with the Images. Comments?
Oh, good on you. Right, I'll have a good look at it when I go home.
Mm.
Sorry, I haven't looked at it already.
That's on the Productivity Commission. Website. That's a submission to the Productivity Commission.
Do you remember the number?
Mental health.
Come up under
170. Yeah. Item number 170 on the Productivity Commission list, out of about over 500 submissions. As I said, with mental health, with medication which doesn't work, there is no productivity in mental health. It's a field ripe for productivity, but at the moment, the department does nothing. It's just a backwater to them. People who can't represent themselves properly so that they don't have to worry about anything.
Good on you for sticking up for those people at the CTO meeting.
That was great, wasn't it?
Now, how do you get to them?
How do we get to what?
How do you get to those meetings? I thought they might exclude you and only allow
professionals. I was the peer support worker.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm a peer support worker.
Good on you. Good on you for doing it and good on you for the wins.
Well, I'm also a practiced law therapist too.
Yeah, yeah. Good on you.
It was interesting with one of the hearings.
Yeah.
Wrote out the notes, what was to be said a few things, and sort of backed the commission into a corner. They just have to release the person. They were over a barrel. Feather in my cap for that one. On to other matters. We have a petition. And the petition is a petition to force compliance with Section 68E by the New South Wales Department of Mental Health. Some people may have seen the petition, and we have over 270 signatures, and we'll keep that going and would like to keep building it up. We would like to pay people who couldn't attend today, who are listening to this, to sign the petition. You can do a search on change.org, change.org, for a petition to force compliance with Section 68E by the New South Wales Department of Mental Health. There are a lot of petitions up there, so if you put in inverted commas, petition to force compliance with Section 68, end of inverted commas, you'll find it'll come up. So I'll read out the petition, what we've got to say, the notes that go with it. David Murphy started this petition to the New South Wales Minister for Mental Health. Anachronistically, the New South Wales Department of Mental Health flatly refused to comply with Section 68E of the New South Wales Mental Health Act to provide appropriate information about, let alone actually provide any, treatment alternatives in mental health. The reasons for this are largely commercial and financial. Undisclosed financial commissions are being made for the illegal, under the Competition and Consumer Act 2010, monopolistic provision of unproven, non-evidence-based, useless, placebo-grade mental health chemical medications that in many cases breach Section 85 and due to convenience in contravention of Section 68D and resistance to modernise and investigate the many fine treatment alternatives such as well-attested digital medication and up to 100 other treatment alternatives as collated in the last few years by STAG, the Sydney Treatment Alternatives Advocacy Group. We do not seek to change the law. The law is fine as it is. We merely seek that the department comply with the law as regards to a person's right to have a choice of treatment alternatives from which to choose which suits them best in line with the latter part of Section 68E. I will read out Section 68E. People with a mental illness or mental disorder should be provided with appropriate information about treatment, treatment alternatives and the effects of treatment and be supported to pursue their own recovery. not somebody else's recovery for them, like a psychiatrist, which isn't their own recovery, which is to bring in commissions for the psychiatrist in some networking system for supply of medication. Generally, the department cites the sleeper section 195 as the reason it does not have to regard section 68 as law. But section 195 itself transgresses the Competition and Consumer Act 2010 at the federal level, and so in itself is not law. It's in contempt of an act. Also of interest is that a current long-running 22-year statistical study from 1997 to 2019 has found that, one, that out of 13 out of every 15 psychiatrists, if this study is typical, in the New South Wales mental health system cannot properly diagnose or diagnose at all, in one or other senses of the word cannot. Now that means either they cannot diagnose because they don't have any real life skills to diagnose, or because of the way the notes have been written over the years tendentiously to keep the numbers up, people are trapped into the system and they can't diagnose them out because the numbers would drop down. Also the numbers stay up because the product only has a 30 to 35% success rate, placebo grade, so it doesn't actually work except for sedative and hallucinatory effects. Two, over 99% of mental health review tribunal decisions, that's against creditors or the like, are predetermined, presumably also for commercial reasons. That 99% is a statistical study that's been put to Rodney Braben of the Mental Health Review Tribunal. And I've got a response from him, which wasn't very convincing, because he couldn't overcome the statistics. We seek by this petition that the department provide appropriate information on about 10 to 20 treatment alternatives as to be found in the six lists independently collated by STAG, and abandon its dogmatic and cult-like devotion to chemical medication, which does not and cannot address undesirable conditioning and responses, as can, for example, digital medication, which with repetition reprograms the subconscious mind to respond and react in new ways, which chemicals cannot do, because they don't speak in language. And conditioning is often laid down visually or orally in language. For further reading and to see all STAG's independently collated lists of treatment alternatives, recommendations, about 100, please go to meetup.com/staggroup. That's STAAGGROUP. On the Meetup website, and click on About. Please advise you if you have difficulty in accessing the six lists. Signed, David, Chairperson, Sydney 02-8214-8397 or 0419-605-365, stag@tpg.com.au. You are welcome to inquire about the date for our next Sydney STAG midday meeting. Start a petition of your own. This petition starter took up and took some action. Will you do the same? Comments? Some reasons for signing by one lady, Catherine. A mental health system, she wrote, a mental health system would be working to emphasise treatment alternatives and broaden its focus beyond medication. Should be, not would be. As it is, our mental health system comes at the expense of many people's mental and physical health and well-being. Another one by Brett. Forced medication is an embarrassment to the medical profession. How could they not see it? Or are they too greedy for the drug company money and too lazy to find social solutions? We thank Catherine and Brett for their comments. Comments on the petition submission. What did people think?
The petition idea is brilliant. The petition idea is brilliant.
Thank you. The petition idea is brilliant. We'll keep it growing. We're up to 275 or so at the moment. We want to keep that growing. I'll put up a link to this recording on the petition, and I'll put up the wording is on the petition, which people can read. And I should put up the submission to the Productivity Commission that I read out as well too. And we just keep the petition going and going for quite a while. Want to build it up to 10,000 signatures. A way to build it up is if people chip in with about $26, because they double it over 25, the number of people they contact, it'll bring in new signatures to the petition. So people would like to pay about $26 to change.org for them to promote the petition about 1,000 times or 5,000 times to people they've got on their lists. It brings in more signatories and it grows and the awareness grows. So people can consider that. It's money well spent, particularly when you consider some of the other petitions that are out there. Crazy ones. This one is very much in the public interest. Any other items of general interest to discuss? John, you're actively involved in mental health and so on. So could I ask you to introduce yourself and tell people what you have been doing?
My name's John Pink, and I had a nervous breakdown about 35 years ago. And I found out something very special happens during the recovery phase. And very few mental health therapists are aware of it. There is one exception to that, and they are Jungian analysts.
Jung.
Like Carl Jung. He was a protege of Sigmund Freud. They're both good, but I think Jung was the better of the two. And what I've done is I've got an electronic representation of the processes that occur during the recovery phase. And it's very special and wants to be very well managed. But basically it deals with the subconscious mind and what's actually happening when the person has what we call a mental illness. They're actually developing and gaining control of an additional part of their mind, and they're more powerful mentally after the event.
People who've been in the mental health system for quite a while will recognise that they don't hear psychiatrists talking about the subconscious mind. That's how out of touch they are. They don't talk about the subconscious mind in psychiatry. They're ridiculous. It's been around 70, 80 years as a construct.
There was one exception to that. This retired psychiatrist living in one of the South Sea Isles, he mentioned the subconscious mind. But there is one other one, I think, that she's got the website psychiatrywithsoul.com. What's her name? Maureen Roberts is her name. She's a psychiatrist in the Adelaide Hills, and she's also a Jungian analyst. Jungian analyst. And that those people that I said are the exception and understand very, very much about the subconscious mind. She's one. I'll take this card, which has got all the...
Now, you send out a number of emails from time to time.
Yeah.
So you might like to select about three or four or five of your emails, say about three, and I'll send them out to the STAG members so that they can have a look if you would pick three of your best ones about what you write about.
Okay, thank you. There's the card. Oh, sorry. The other side's got... One of the websites on there, on that card, is named successfulschizophrenia.org. And they're a west coast of America.
That's a very nice card.
They're a west coast of America. I'll give you a better one, actually. A west coast of America.
So you have a website, www.sillypsychiatry.com.au.
Yeah.
And you have other websites, www.naturalhumandevelopment.com, www.normalhumandevelopment.com, www.psychiatryexposed.com.au and www.black-op.org.
Yeah,
org.
Black Op, yeah. Blackop.org.
Blackop.org. Enlivening the natural human development, enlivening the chakras.
Anyway, I've developed considerable information about this process that goes on, and there it is there in printed form. If you want, I've got a number of copies of that. And
oh, wow, thanks.
Well, I need them in email, because we do things by email. We send them by email. So send me those documents by email.
See that last sheet there, that last pair of sheets? By Robert Whitaker, summary of
yes, there'd be a lot of people who'd like this.
It
makes more sense than chemical medication, I can tell you that. Because chemical medication makes no sense unless you want hallucinations or sedation.
Yeah. You know, this Robert Whitaker, he's studying for a PhD in psychology now. He's written an hour, he's spoken for an hour and 35 minute presentation, I think it's to a Dutch group. And he's written a two-page summary of that. And I can send you that summary. But he wrote the book, Anatomy of an Epidemic. And he's done the statistics, and he's actually found that mental illness actually increased with the introduction of these so-called antipsychotics.
Yes, chemical medication causes mental illness.
Causes it, yeah. It actually increased. Anyway, I can send you this stuff electronically. But David, what I'd love to get off you is that link to that part, that 22 years old study.
I'll tell you about it, because I know that study, but it's not written up.
Isn't it?
I know the study, yes.
You've
been researched, I know of this study because I've got details of that.
Yeah.
The one person who got it right, since the alleged mental illness actually was something else, which was of a legal nature, one psychiatrist realised she could be up for assault by continuing on prescribing medication by injection. When it wasn't psychiatric, it was legal. And so since this person was an ardent advocate in legal circles, she realised he could either go for her for assault or for money. So she backed off and backed right off. The other one was a person who thought the person had a mental illness and then said they wanted to discontinue with the person. Because he wasn't presenting as a mentally ill patient. That was the other one. So one was quite knowledgeable. The other ones just go along with anything and chat and pass the time of day and fill in time talking to patients and making money.
Yeah. But my understanding is you cannot, once you inject them, you can go to them for not just assault, you can also go to them for battery.
That's a point. It would be battery as well as assault.
Yes, often battery.
He says puncturing.
The assault means you've only got to make them frightened. That's all you've got to do. But once you touch them, it's battery. Now, I sue them for assault, battery, and false imprisonment. The matter was settled at a mediation conference which they requested. And they used the Supreme Court to actually get that granted, that notice of motion granted. My friend told me before, way before then, he said, "You'll win this case, John, because they can't afford to have their names written up anywhere." And all the psychiatrist names were written on the court case. They can't afford to have, it'll affect their professional liability insurance. And I sued them. There was another guy that sued him, Barakara. He was himself a psychologist. He was taken for mental health reasons by police to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist didn't meet him. So therefore, the time from when the police took hold of him to when he was released, he was false arrest. He sued the police for that and won the case. I'll present you the last group of days, right?
I'm familiar with one particular patient who has been keeping a spreadsheet record of the quantifiable effects of the side effects, and one psychiatrist gave a clue as to how to do it, but he already knew how to do it, and the quantified on a spreadsheet going back about 10 years, 12 years, and he charges an amount for the assault, doing a tort to contract swap sort of idea, rather than go for them for assault to get paid, and it's up to 14 million. He submitted that spreadsheet to Croydon Department of Mental Health.
Yeah.
They don't mind. They've got no objections. They don't care. So, $14 million. And thinking, if you're going to go through all this silly business, you want to get paid, because they're all in it for the money. They wouldn't go to work if they weren't being paid and do this nonsense. And so he thought, well, big smart victims should get paid. So we keep a spreadsheet, and eventually I'll sue, and I'll get paid. Because they're here to make money, pharmaceutical companies are here to make money with a product that doesn't work, and it causes these awful side effects. It causes mental illness. So it's an offence under Section 85, and an offence under of the Mental Health Act, and an offence under Section 39 and 41 of the Crimes Act, because it's a poison.
Yeah.
It's a poison, so...
He could copy my statement of claims.
I'd like to see it, if you could email it to me.
Email it, it's easy.
We've got other people who would like to have court actions, and Stag would like to support people who would like to run their actions in the courts for assault, battery, for being treated that way. So we would like to see some of those start to happen.
I believe that's the way psychiatry...
You've got to do it through the courts.
Yeah, I believe that's the way psychiatry will be extinguished by courts.
It'll be extinguished because there'll be so many claims on the insurance of psychiatrists that it'll be prohibitive for a psychiatrist to get insurance, because the premiums go higher and higher. So we hit the insurance companies because they're encouraging them. Did you know that there was one psychiatrist from the New South Wales mental health system who in a Supreme Court case in equity gave evidence, and he made a whole lot of large amount of money for it? Due to the nature of the case, he actually had a large financial win till it got picked up. I won't give a name, but it was over $1 million, which invalidates the judgment, because the witness got paid. And the witness wasn't the only one who made money out of it, actually. A few people in mental health did. But anyway, it invalidated the judgment.
Are you aware there's been an ECT court case judgment in California, I think, in October in 2018, where the receivers of the ECT treatments took the companies producing the ECT machines, and there were two different companies, to court. It was run at a DK law group, and I supplied the court cases, court case for this. They actually won a summary judgment, and the only thing that had to be decided was the amount that each patient received, each former patient received.
Quantum.
Quantity, yeah.
Quantum.
One of the women there was a hospital emergency department nurse, and she says after about 15 or 30 ECT treatments, she couldn't even remember how to take a pulse.
Oh gosh. Gosh.
Well, that's impact.
She was one of them. She actually started a website on it, you know, but I'll supply all that information to you, David, and
thank you. Okay, we've had a productive meeting today. We've covered some material. Any other general business?
Oh, there is one thing.
One more thing, yes.
In vain, what I was saying, you go through a mind improvement process, right, through having mental illness. Before I had my nervous breakdown, I realised I was having problems, and I went and looked at some alternative therapies. And I looked at hypnotherapy, I did meditation, I tried rebirthing, and there was also one thing I did even before that, and it was just before a drawn grand final up here at the Sydney Football Stadium, not Sydney, the old Sydney Cricket Ground. And I was going to this stress relief course run by a psychologist. She was a professor of psychology at Macquarie University. And I was going to have to go across the Harbour Bridge to get to Macquarie University, and they drew at half time, and it was only because they drew, I was going to be late for the start of the course, which started about 4 o'clock, right in the afternoon. I was going to be late for the course, but the drawn game meant no one left the grand final venue, so I could get through there quickly, you know. And she did one thing. She had this machine where she had probes, which she put on our heads with, I think it was petroleum gel. They didn't have water-based lubricants in, petroleum gel, and she used the hospital-type tape to tape one of her heads, and she measured our brain activities, you know. And she told us what to expect. And there was something, the reading she gave, my reading was a bit double that in the different brain oscillations. Humans normally work in alpha, animals beta, then you've got theta, and that's an even longer brain wave than the previous two. And delta is the most powerful one, and it's known as being in the mineral kingdom. And my brain waves in delta ended up double what she said to expect. This psychologist knew the brain transforms in the way it functions under mental stress. And my claim is she knew people have already got these more powerful minds before they have the mental illness. Now, the mental illness makes it even more powerful. But she knew. Now, I'd love to get hold of that study. And I'd love, if Stan would write about it, write to Macquarie University and request it. I don't know if it was ever published, but it was a female professor of psychology at Macquarie University. And the year was 1977.
Don't know it.
Yeah. But that's in the same vein as what I'm talking about. The mind is made more powerful during this process.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. What psychiatry do, it just creates a logjam of mental health patients, and that's why Robert Whittaker, in that summary of sheet, right, was saying you get more mental health patients with the drugs. It's good for their business. Anyway.
Brings about mental illness.
Yeah.
Okay, if we have no other business, we'll finish off there. And we can adjourn for coffee across the road. Our next meeting will be when some more things happen. I don't know when that's going to be. Before the end of the year, I expect. Because Stag generally meets when something is happening. Thank you for coming today, everybody.
Thank you, David. You did a great job.
That's body.
I'm glad someone has got an organisation going to do really something about this, you know? There are two groups in America that are really good. One of them is the Mental Patients Association. Another one is the Vermont Psychiatric Survivors Group. David, that's the menu. I inadvertently took it out of the...
Thank you.
For that thing. But you have all those.
That's the menu of the place across the road, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got that already.
I inadvertently took that out.
But thank you, Yvonne, for doing your secretarial work.
You're very
fantastic. I'll repeat what I said before. I'm just glad someone has got an organisation that's doing something about this mental health, addressing the issue.
Send the link of the meeting to other people. Send the link, because the important thing here is to record the meetings, what happens, and people send the link by email to other places so that people can listen. Thank you very much. Okay.
You know all that stuff.
That's 45 minutes today.